Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. We've been looking at the study of this beautiful little book. I love the study of the book of Ruth. And if you remember early on in this study, that what's so great about this book is the backdrop to which you find it. It's a time in which the Bible says that the judges ruled. It's a time in which, in the very last verse of the book of Judges, really sums up the backdrop to which you find the book of Ruth. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was a sense, if you will, of total anarchy. There was a sense of just, for lack of a better phrase, just godlessness as far as the mentality of the people, thinking that just kind of eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, was often the premise to which they lived by. And so when you come to the book of Ruth, it's like a diamond in the rough. It's a beautiful story of the grace of God in the midst of a very difficult time in Israel's history. But it's a beautiful story of how God, even in the midst of darkness, and I love them about to say to you, not because I'm saying it, but because it's a tremendous principle found in Scripture. Even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of very difficult times, God still has a plan for His people. Amen? God still has a plan. And one of the things as a born-again believer, if we're not careful, we can wrong. I don't know who originally made this statement. If it's Dr. Wearsby or Dr. Johnny Hunt, one of those guys, I believe it was, that made that statement. They said that if we're not careful as God's people, we live in a very dark and dreary world. And if we're not careful as God's people, we can walk around and doing nothing more than cursing the darkness all the time rather than walking in the light of God's grace and mercy. And so when you come to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, if you remember in last Wednesday night, where we left Ruth was she was now introduced to a man by the name of Boaz, who, as we will go forward in our passages of Scripture through the book of Ruth and our study here, Boaz will be her redeemer before this story is over. We started in chapter 1 of Ruth with three widows and three funerals. And yet we see before it's over with, it ends with a beautiful wedding of how Boaz redeems Ruth. And so it's just a magnificent story of the grace of God. Of course, you do not have to be a Bible scholar to see that often, and many, many times as you read the Old Testament, you must understand that Jesus Christ, he may not be mentioned by name, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but he has absolutely saturated himself in the Old Testament stories. And when you come to the book of Ruth, that is such a picture of the Lord Jesus. Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who Peter said, we were not redeemed with corruptible things. He said, we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Of course, redemption means to be redeemed. Redemption means to be bought back with a price. Of course, knowing Jesus as our Savior, if you've been born again, you have been bought back. You have been redeemed. You have been by the shed blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has forgiven you of all your sin. If you trusted Him, He has forgiven you of all your sins. He has assured you a place in heaven. And because of that, the greatness of Jesus is He is our Redeemer. And here's a lesson that you learn as you go through the study of Ruth. This is awesome. Everything that we have, everything that Ruth will receive, is because of the Redeemer. Everything that we have is because of the Redeemer. Amen? Can I get a witness? All right. Everything that we have is because of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ruth chapter 2, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. She has just been introduced to her kinsman, Boaz, who she will know later on as her kinsman redeemer before this story ends. She's just been introduced to him. And she now has landed in this rich man by the name of Boaz, this gentleman. He's a gentleman, as you see in Scripture. He's a very kind man. And she's just introduced to him. She ends up going into his fields, by some seemingly human perspective, coincidental thing. But as we're going to look in the Word of God, there are no coincidences with God. The Lord Jesus had a plan even for her life. This little Moabite girl by the name of Ruth has now learned about the grace of God. And the Bible tells us, so here she is. She goes in the Boaz's fields. She has more than enough and to spare with the blessings of God on her life. And verse 17 says, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that which she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. We're going to talk about how much that is in just a moment. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law, of course, you know Naomi, as we talked about her in the last several weeks. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, notice the question. I want you to think about this, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. Naomi asked her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. And again, God, as we ask not to be repetitive, Lord, but we truly acknowledge we need your help. We ask that your Holy Spirit will truly be our teacher, that he will be our guide. And Father, that we'll hear from you tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm preaching on this subject tonight. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. As you come through this portion of Scripture, you see in this passage that Ruth now has been blessed beyond her wildest imagination. In the earlier verses of chapter 2, she had said to her mother-in-law, I'm going to go into the field. If you remember, the law of God allowed even a stranger, and that's what she was to Israel, the law of God allowed her to go into the fields and pick up the scraps that were left from the gleaners. The gleaners, as they were reaping it, if they dropped it, they had to leave it. But then the widowers and those would come the widows and those that would come behind, the law allowed them to pick it up. So she says to Naomi, I'm going to go and I'm hoping to find grace in somebody's sight. And she does that, and she goes into the field. But as she goes into the field, there's no doubt in my mind, she had no idea how her day would end. When we left her last week, she's not only has she come out of the field, she's sitting at the table. This is awesome. As Boaz is, of course, a picture of Jesus. She is sitting at the table of Boaz, and the Bible tells us in chapter 2, he reaches her parched corn, as if to say, hey, you are welcome in my presence. You are welcome at my table. Because of Boaz, because of someone extending grace to her, picture of Jesus, put yourself in this thought, because of someone extending grace to her, because of someone extending mercy to her, because of someone choosing, here it is, choosing to love her, she now was blessed more than she ever could imagine. So the question is tonight, when God blesses us, why does he do it? You say, well, he blesses us just because he enjoys doing that. That's his nature. That's his character. Well, yes, that's true. That is his nature and that's his character. The Bible tells us that he daily loatheth us with his benefits in the Proverbs, I believe it is. So if that's Psalms and Proverbs, if that's his nature, if that's his character, why does God do it? Of course, we know he does it. Jesus, because of Christ, we're his child. If we've repented of our sin and placed our faith and trust in Christ, believing in his death and resurrection, and God has, by grace through faith, God has saved us, and he's born us again into his family and kingdom, that we indeed were his child, and God blessed us because of Christ. But have you ever stopped to think, and I know you have perhaps, but I just maybe want to try kind of trigger your mind for a little bit, maybe your heart. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe the whole reason God has blessed us like he has is so that we can be a blessing to others? And by the way, friend, that is a foundational biblical principle. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. So with that, let's dig into this passage. Notice, first of all, as we are blessed to be a blessing, notice number one, the enrichment of blessings. The enrichment of blessings. God blessings, the blessings of Boaz into the life of Ruth did a couple of things for her. And when we think about the blessings of God, as of course Boaz is a beautiful picture of Christ, as we think about the blessings of God in our lives, what does God's blessings do? Well, they should do a couple things. We see, first of all, that God's blessings should inspire our gratefulness. They should inspire our gratefulness. As you imagine this story, and you can picture in your mind this story, Ruth is now growing in her knowledge of this Redeemer by the name of Boaz. She was learning that this Boaz, who would soon be her Redeemer, was doing things for her that by her own birth she didn't deserve. When we think of our lives, what had Ruth learned in the very brief time about the God who the Bible says, and Boaz had told her this. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12, Boaz, it says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel under..." Now, did you see this? The Lord God of Israel. So automatically, if he would have stopped there, listen, had he stopped with just that statement, what would she do? She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't a Jew, but he didn't say that. He didn't stop there. There's a comma next to that. "The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz had told her. She was now learning, you know, as these blessings had come into her life. They were undeserved. She didn't deserve it. Neither do we. Listen, we do not deserve the blessings of God, but they come into our life, and these blessings of God were now inspiring. They were an inspiration of her gratefulness. They inspired her to be grateful, to have an attitude of gratitude. You know, we live in a culture, sadly, so sad. We live in a culture, and I'll be honest, it often has crept into the family of God. It's crept into the local churches and in our culture that we have a spirit and people, you see this a lot in young people, and sadly you see this, but can have an attitude of entitlement. Listen, friend, how in the world for those of us that know where God saved us and where God found us and where God, and listen, to know what God forgave us of, how can we ever have an attitude of entitlement? How can we ever get to the point in our life to think that God owes us something? God doesn't owe us anything but hell. Amen? He doesn't owe us anything but that. So may we never have an attitude of entitlement. May we have an attitude of gratitude, of being so grateful. And may it inspire us to be so thankful and grateful for what he has done. Wow, what a God. What an amazing God. What had God done in the life of Ruth? Well, he had done a couple things. She had learned, first of all, number one under letter A there, she had learned a lesson about God's providence. Did you see in the earlier verses, and I know we've talked much about this, but I want to show you something. In chapter 2, verse 3, and the Bible says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap." You know, we've talked about this, but don't miss this. Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who, oh, by the way, was of the kindred of Elimelech. Who do we know Boaz as? He's going to be a redeemer. What happened in her life? She just, humanly speaking, by chance, happened to land in the field belonging to Boaz. No, friend, that has the providence of God all over it. The Lord Jesus Christ was directing her path. You know, you say, "Well, Pastor, I never really thought about it." Have you as an individual ever stopped? I know you have, and I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. I just want to kind of trigger your thought and your hearts tonight and your mind. Have you ever stopped and just really thank God? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Brother Bob Lamb said, I remember him saying one time from the pulpit, Will, you probably have heard him say this. He said that God not only watches over the steps of a good man. God not only guards our steps, he often guards our stops. Our stops. That's the God that we serve. He's a God that watches over us. He's a God who, when we look at situations, and I've been talking a lot on Sunday mornings about how often in the context of trials and difficulties in life, sometimes God initiates them. And I know sometimes we think, wait a minute, if God loves us, why would God allow this to happen? Listen, it's because God does love you that he allows certain things to happen in our life. Did you hear that? It's because God does. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute, explain. Well, flesh that out. Explain that a little bit more. Don't raise your hand, but in the quietness of your heart, how many of us have ever come through trials only to have the trial bring us closer to our Savior? Amen? He's an amazing God. So now Ruth is learning a little bit about the providence of God, but she's also learning, as this enrichment of blessing, she's learning about God's provision. The Bible told us, and I kind of alluded this to you, so here she is. She's gleaned in the field. Boaz tells them, hey, he tells the workers, and he tells Ruth, you stay by my maidens. Don't go to any other field. You stay in my fields. I've got everything that you need in these fields. Oh, by the way, he doesn't tell Ruth this. He tells those that are picking the wheat and picking all the crops. He says, oh, let some handfuls of purpose fall. Drop some on purpose. She wasn't aware he told him that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought that God has dropped some handfuls on purpose? Sure. He's done that a lot in our lives, has he not? He's an amazing God. He does things. He provides for us so well. So we see this in verse 14. And Boaz said to her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he, Boaz, he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. He not only reached her parched corn, she ate, her stomach was filled, and she went out. The Bible says sufficed. She was satisfied. She had now learned not only about God's providence in her life, she had learned a little bit about God's provision. She had a belly full by the middle of the day, as one writer says, and she had a basket full by the end of the day. Look at verse 17. And verse 17 says, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Ephah of barley. You know how much that is? That's 8 gallons. That's 8 gallons of barley. The law allowed her to pick up the scraps. She now didn't have scraps. She had up to 8 gallons. That's going to take care of her. God's blessings and should inspire our gratitude, but also they should increase our gratitude. They should increase our gratitude. How grateful are we? Look at verse 10. I love this. In verse 10. So she meets Boaz. And notice what she does. He had just told her, hey, if you get thirsty, you come and you drink of the water that my young men had drawn for you. You don't go away thirsty. You can come and you can drink. Boy, is that not a picture of Jesus? You don't have to go away thirsty with the Lord Jesus. Amen? We can drink of him. In verse 10, boy, it increased her gratitude. Look at this now. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? But really, in all actuality, she answers her own question. Did you see that? She answers her own question. She says, why have I found grace? That's an answer to her own question. That's what grace is. We don't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It's unmerited blessing of God. We absolutely get what we do not deserve. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve the joy of the Lord. We don't deserve the Holy Spirit of God living in us. That's why it's grace. She says, why have I found grace? Well, understand, it's not about that you earned it. It's nothing to do with what you could have done to merit it. No, it's all about unmerited favor. Unmerited favor of God. And God blesses and he gives grace in the life of his children. What a joy. What a blessing. The enrichment. But second of all, notice something else. And this is where it really kind of ties in with the title tonight. Notice the entrustment of blessings. The entrustment of blessings. Starting in verse 17. Keep also in mind, God blesses us to be a blessing. The biblical doctrine of stewardship. We own nothing. We've been entrusted with it all. Stewardship is just, you've heard me say this, but to really paint the picture, a steward was a house manager, someone that didn't own anything, but they had all access to all that their master had given them. They had access to everything that he had. And when we think of our lives as a believer in Jesus, we're stewards. We're just house managers. We don't own anything. And verse 17 says, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. 8 gallons of barley. She has all this barley. What is she going to do with it all? What is Ruth going to do with this surplus of blessings in her life? Well, she's going to do what all of us should do. She's going to use it to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, God's people, Roy Humble, Brother Roy Humble, many of you remember Brother Humble, if not all of you. Roy Humble taught me years ago, he said, Brother Tracy, he said, you don't hold God's thing, you don't hold what God gives you with a clenched fist. He says, you hold the blessings of God, and I've heard Johnny Hunt say too, you hold the blessings of God like this. You hold them with open hands. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, we are not manufacturers of the blessings of God. It's in a quote from, it's a book called, if you never read it, it's an outstanding read, On Being a Servant. That's the title, On Being a Servant by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He said, we are not manufacturers of the blessings of God. We are no more than distributors of the blessings of God. We don't manufacture them. God gives them. And why? And when he gives them, we're to be a blessing. So in this context, so here's what she does. So the blessing, she had blessing in her life that was seen by others. Naomi's going to see. I love this, man. Don't miss this. You'll miss the whole thought. So let's get into this. Verse 18 says, and she took it up and went into the city. Can you see this little bitty stranger? This little bitty Moabite girl? This little bitty girl who, this widow girl who she's a stranger in the land. It's all new to her. She does, and let's flesh it out a little bit. She doesn't know the language of the Jewish people. She doesn't know the normalcy of how, you know, God's nation of people act and what they do. The only thing she's learned is what her mother-in-law no doubt had taught her. And now she's learning it firsthand by a man by the name of Boaz. And I love this. This is a phenomenal, phenomenal statement. Look at the text. She took it up in verse 18, went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. How would you have liked to be Naomi? Your little daughter-in-law comes in the door, and man, she's got arms full of this barley. 8 gallons of barley. And there's no doubt in my mind that Naomi knew, she knew, Brother Randy, she knew that she had more than what the law of God could have given her. She had more than what the law could give her. She had abundance, right? She had abundance. The law couldn't give her what she had. Somebody would have had to show kindness to her. Somebody, as you look at the earlier verses of chapter 2, somebody would have had to have shown her love and grace for her to have this much. You ever looked in the mirror lately? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Is it fair to say that somebody by the name of Jesus has shown you love and grace? Absolutely, man. Well, let's get away from the mirror for a minute. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's get away from the mirror for a minute. What are you laughing back there, sound man? Have you looked at your home? Have you looked into the eyes of your children? I don't care how they could. I don't care if they're 2 years old or baby. I don't care. Regardless, have you looked at your kids lately? Somebody whose name is Jesus, he's bestowed love on you and grace on you and mercy on you. You say, well, when I look at my kids, yeah, because you know what the Bible says, right? Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're gifts of Jehovah God. We're able to see, I got to ask the grandparents, do you text? Okay, what a friend we have in Jesus. You got the first family picture, right, I hope? Oh, thank the Lord. The little first family picture of the Hall family, and there's big brother, Jacob. Leslie asked Jacob, she says, what are you going to teach? What are you going to teach your baby brother? He says, I'm going to teach him how to play baseball. I'm glad somebody can teach him how to play that in that family. Listen, have you when you see that first little family picture, man, oh, somebody has extended grace and mercy on that family. Look at this. Man, this is awesome. You think that's good? Look at this now. This is awesome, man. Look at verse 18. She took it up and went into the city. I think it's fair to say she couldn't wait to get home. She couldn't wait to get back to her mother-in-law, who also was a widow. And her mother-in-law saw what she gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her. We're blessed, church family. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. Naomi, Ruth says, here, Naomi, I've got a belly full. Question. Not trying to add to the text, but understanding a little bit about Jewish custom. You think Naomi was hungry? I do. You think Naomi, it had been a while since she had truly had a full, satisfying meal? Yeah, I do. I really sincerely do. And she gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed, verse 18. Look at verse 19. And this is where I couldn't wait to get to. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Did you see the question? You say, yeah, preacher, we just read the question. But let's look at the question again. Where hast thou gleaned today? Naomi wants to know what field she wound up in. You got a little bit more than the law could have given you. What field did you land in today? But notice Ruth's response. This is awesome, man. Naomi says, where hast thou gleaned, verse 19? Where wroughtest thou? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And notice Ruth's response here. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. Did you see that? I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. Just stay engaged in that verse there. Naomi says, Where did you wrought today? Where did you work at? Ruth not one time tells her where. She tells her whom. She tells her, I can't tell you It's not about the field. It's about Boaz. You picking up what I'm putting down? It's not about what I did. It's not about where I was. It was about who I met today, Naomi. Let that settle in for a minute. It's not about who we are. It's not about what we do. It's about who we met. I met him when I was 16. He changed my life. Jill, you met him, hon, at what age? 18 years old. She was one of our little bus kids. I'm going to embarrass her because I love her and I can do this. We first met her, 13 years of age. She goes, "Preacher, I'm going to buy me a Harley Davidson someday." Oh, my goodness. She's still going to. Wear a helmet. Please wear a helmet. But, you know, just to see what God can do in a life. To see how God provides for his children. It's not about what. Or where. It's about whom. She said, "Oh, Naomi, I got to tell you about somebody I met today." And let's look at the text. And then little Naomi, buddy, she's going to play Miss Matchmaker. She's amazing. She reminds me a lot like my wife. You ladies that are looking for a wife, you need to get with my wife. I'm telling you, and she'll tell you who to stay away from, too. She will. She'll tell you if they're a bum. Don't date one that won't work. You'll be supporting them. Just wanted to say that. Or you'll be living in, never mind, we'll live alone. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be that did take knowledge of thee," verse 19. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name, the man's name whom I wrought today is Boaz." You see, Ruth could never, there's no doubt in my mind, Ruth could never forget his name. Why? He had showed kindness to her. He had extended love to her. He had extended grace to her. He had extended mercy to her. Does that sound like anybody we know? Sounds like Jesus, does it not? And she said, "Oh, by the way, the man who I can't tell you about the field, but I can tell you about the person. His name was Boaz." And look what Ruth does. Look what Naomi does. You see the entrustment of blessing. God had blessed her, and what did she do with all the barley? She didn't take it and sell it. She didn't take it and try to pat her pocket with it or anything like that. She took it to be a blessing to her mother-in-law and to bless Naomi, and that's exactly what she did. And when Naomi started asking her questions, where did you work? Oh, his name's Boaz. Look at verse 20. Notice the empowerment of blessing. The empowerment of blessings. Verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Naomi's now going to speak. Miss Matchmaker is going to come on the scene. Look at this now. "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next or near kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also," now, did you see this? Naomi said, "He's one of our near kinsmen." In my observation here, here's what I think happened. Ruth didn't get a hold of that. She didn't understand that. She hadn't really grabbed the hold of what she was about to get in Boaz. Sounds like a new Christian, doesn't it? Not trying to distort the text, just stay with me on this. When you first get saved, what do you know? You know he's your Savior. That's about it. You don't know, and I didn't know when God saved me. I didn't know all that I would gain in Jesus. Look at the text. So Naomi says, oh, he's one of our near kinsmen. And then Ruth says, well, he told me something else. There's something else. Wait, Naomi, there's more. By the way, friend, there's always more to the story when you're talking about Jesus. Because he daily loads us with benefits. Daily does that. You wake up blessed this morning? Hey, do not let the devil creep in and give you an entitlement spirit. Do not let the devil creep in and give you a jealous heart. Do not let the devil creep in and give you an envious spirit. Listen, that's why as a pastor, I've never understood preachers, pastors that get jealous of other pastors in churches. I'm talking about good churches. I'm not talking about these crazy roll down the aisle kind of nonsense. No, I'm talking about good churches, good Baptist churches. Listen, if God blesses another good church, to God be the glory. We should want other churches to grow. We should want other churches to reach the lost. We should want other churches to build a great local assembly for God's honor and glory. We're not in competition with each other. Come on, man. My goodness. I had a preacher say to me, he was an assistant pastor. He said to me one time, he said, Brother Tracy, he asked me this. I couldn't believe it. He's in another church not too far from here. He said, Brother Tracy, he goes, we had somebody visit our church the other day, but they live really close to your church. And he said, do you mind? Would it offend you if we went and visited that person and tried to lead them to the Lord? I looked right at him. I said, are you kidding me? Would I mind? Absolutely not. I said to him, listen, if God could bring you to my neighbors and lead them to Jesus, hallelujah. Amen? There's no competition. Wow. And we wonder why churches don't fellowship today. I'll tell you why. Let me park here for a minute. I'll tell you why they don't fellowship from today. Because it's coming from the pulpit. That nonsense is being propagated. That's why they don't fellowship today. You say, well, why don't we fellowship? We try. We do. It's another sermon. And let me also say something. Let me park here for a minute. God forbid, that as a preacher, I would ever get known more for what I'm against than what I'm for. Let that settle in for a minute. Just a thought. I love preacher brethren. They're some of my best friends in the world. But some of them are very goofy people. Just a thought. Mean-spirited. Look at verse 20. Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. He's a near kin of us. Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. What did Ruth just say there? Naomi, this boy has told me if I'll do what he asks of me, there's more than just this 8 gallons. Boy, that's the God that we serve. If we'll do what he says, there's more where that comes from. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Look at verse 23. See the empowerment of blessing. What does God use our blessings to do? He used the blessings in Ruth's life to encourage a weak faith. We don't come even out of chapter 1 to where we learn that Naomi comes home. Remember when she comes home and the ladies run out and they're all excited to see her? And they said, pleasant, that's Naomi's name, pleasant has come home. And what did Naomi say? No. Don't call me pleasant anymore. You call me bitter. you call me bitter. I think it's fair an observation to say that Naomi had lost her joy. Wow. Sin will do that to you. Sin not only can do that to you, but also sometimes circumstances can do that to you. Here was the heart of a grieving widow. But here was also a heart of a grieving mother. She lost not only her husband, who led her down there to Moab, but she had also lost her two most precious things to her, and that's her two boys. Don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me bitter. So what did Ruth do? The blessings that God poured out on Ruth's life, she shared them. And in sharing them blessings, it was used of God. It was very empowering. That's what blessings can be. They can be very empowering to a weak faith. And Ruth says, Naomi says, he's one of our near kinsmen. Oh, wait, there's more, Naomi. I got to tell you. He also told me, don't go anywhere else. He said, you stay fast by my maid. You stay here. So what did Naomi do? Did Naomi get jealous? No. Did Naomi get critical? No. Naomi took a time. She had now been encouraged, and she took an opportunity to pour into some little young lady's life. Ruth didn't know anything about this. If she truly understood, Brother Randy, I really believe this. If she truly understood redemption, she would have stopped Ruth the moment she said, he's a near kin of us. He's a near kinsman of us. She didn't get it. She didn't pick up on it. But she will experience it before this story is over. But all she could do is say, wait a minute, well, Naomi, there's more. He told me to stay there. And Naomi, he told me, did you see this? He told me to stay all the way through harvest season. Wow. I think she had a smile on her face. You know why she had a smile on her face? Her belly was full. People that don't smile, they don't eat enough. I really believe that. Just keep that in mind. At least you can die with a smile on your face if you have to leave it alone. God used her blessing to encourage a weak faith. But also God used the blessings of Ruth to effect a worshiping faith. He said that, and we saw that in verse 20 as you go on down through there. Look at verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Wow. She dwelt with her mother-in-law. She was home with her mother-in-law. She worked in the fields every day, but they just weren't anybody's fields. They were Boaz's fields. She worked through barley harvest, which was the cheapest of the grains. She worked through wheat harvest. It's a little more expensive. She worked through all of that. She dwelled with her mother-in-law. So here's my thought. Do you think every day that she went home, she bragged on Boaz? I think so. You think every day that she went home and Naomi kept seeing blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing, you think Naomi started to get a little bit encouraged and maybe began to think to herself, you know what? He's still an amazing God. I lost my husband and my two boys, but God's still in control. God's still on the throne. He has not left us comfortless. Do you think Naomi might have said what David said? He said, I've been old. I've been young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Ruth stayed by his young men and maidens all the way through harvest time. What do you think? Man, there's so much in this. What do you think she was learning? What do you think she was learning? Just flesh it out in your own mind. What do you think she was learning about? She was learning, I see all this in Scripture here. She was learning about the kindness of her Redeemer. She was learning about the grace of her Redeemer, the mercy of her Redeemer, the love of her Redeemer. She was learning all about that. She learned about the providence of God. She learned about the provisions of God. What an amazing story. And when you read this, and as I said, take a look in the mirror when you get home. Take a look in the mirror tomorrow. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel very blessed. Well, I think if you look close enough, you understand how blessed you are. You say, well, I don't have what other people might have. That may be true. But you have more than you ever deserve. You have more. We all have more than we ever could ever deserve. We're not deserved of that. It's all grace and mercy. And that's why we say, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're not blessed to hoard the blessings of God. One last principle. Givers, they gain. Givers gain. What would the story have ended up if Ruth would have held on to all the barley? Or she would have sold it and never blessed Naomi? Of course, we know God was in control. I understand that. But from a human element, how do you think the story would have unfolded? We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Here's the invitation. If you're here without Christ, sweet friend, I encourage you right where you are to repent of your sin. Believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, calling upon God to be your Savior. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe you're here, though, and you know the Lord is your Savior, but you're not where you need to be. Maybe you're like Naomi. Maybe your heart has gotten hardened. Maybe through circumstance, maybe through the bitterness sometimes that can come into our life, the root of bitterness. Whatever it is, maybe you'd like to just repent of that and get your life back to where the Lord wants you to be. If you'd like to come to the altar, we give you an opportunity to do that. Let's all stand, please. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. Miss Bonnie's going to come as well. But if you've been challenged in the message tonight and the Holy Spirit of God has spoken and you need to respond, we want you to do that. What's your number, Brother Brian?
299.
Hymn number 299. You come as we sing.